Actor, director, producer, and recording artist William Shatner has also written a number of science fiction books, novels, and nonfiction books, including those about his Star Trek years and other acting exploits. His latest book delves into an entirely different topic, Bill's lifelong love of horses. It's called Spirit of the Horse, a celebration in fact and fable, and it's a rhapsodic collection of personal insights and memories, combined with some of the author's favorite horse stories, historical writings, and some long-lost fables. Together, these sometimes whimsical, sometimes heart-wrenching, sometimes amusing, inspiring, and even mystical reflections capture the scope of the horse-human relationship throughout history. Thanks for joining me today, Bill.
It's my pleasure, Linda. I look forward to talking to you.
So you have an event coming up on June 3rd, the Hollywood Charity Horse Show that started way back in 1990.
Yep. I've been going at it for that's 27 years. I guess it started even before that. I've had a long love affair with American Saddlebreds, and still have some. In fact, the stable where my mares are boarded in Kentucky called, and we have a Hall of Fame mare, a Saddlebred mare there, and she's old and can no longer conceive, but she has her eggs. So we did an embryo transplant with one egg and was successful in implanting it in a recipient mare. And then they called back and said, you know, that egg took, would you like to try for two? And so we're being piggish about it because she's older and we don't know this great mare. We don't know how long she'll be able to conceive. She's given us these wonderful babies. So I'm in the midst of trying to get two babies out of one mare and this new medical way of breeding horses. So my relationship with American Saddlebreds goes way back. And I started this horse show called the Hollywood Charity Horse Show with Saddlebreds. But based on the lack of cooperation from all the saddlebred owners in the area, the Los Angeles area, because it's more a southern Kentucky, southern horse, although it has been popular in California. In any case, I changed the color of the Hollywood Charity Horse Show reflect my abiding interest in reiners and quarter horses. So for these many years, 27 years, it's been a reining show, and it's become one of the largest, and I breed quarter horses as well.
I had a chance to see you ride some of those reining horses, and I can tell you, I mean, to see someone who, at the time you were 85, ride a horse that I would have fallen off within the first 30 seconds, I think, see you just riding these horses like this, do you feel like riding at that level has been a huge part of your health in life?
I really do think so. I've just finished a book on aging and realizing that I had nothing to add about diet or exercise or all the, you know, hormones. There are so many experts who've got books out there that I had nothing to say about that. But what I did have to say was what applied to me, and therefore if it worked for me, it might work for you. And the essence of the book is on aging, which I don't have a title for yet, is you got to get out there and keep moving. And because I started riding horses many years ago and kept at it and kept improving, I stayed with it and became almost obsessive about it. And staying in shape to ride these beautiful horses became a motivating factor. So not only is the act of riding intensively, we're not talking about going for a ride in the park. We're talking about doing patterns in as a reiner, and rehearsing with a horse the rundowns and the sliding stops and the rollbacks and riding intensively. And I have several reiners, so I'm able to do 2 hours and do 4 or 5 horses in those 2 hours, and maybe go as many as this last week 4 times a week for 2 hours. I'm riding a lot intensively, and staying in shape is essential, and I attribute my ability to ride these horses at the level I'm riding at. And by the way, as we speak, tomorrow I go down to Del Mar, California, and ride in a horse show for 3 days, compete, and my expectation is, given the level of excellence of my horses, my expectation is I have a chance to win a ribbon.
It's incredible. I mean, these horses that you have are really like Olympic athletes.
They are
operating at a high level.
They are Olympic athletes.
So for you
athletes.
To even sit on a horse like that and stay on it, much less, you know, win, is a remarkable achievement for someone of any age.
And that's right. That is correct. And Danny Girardi is my trainer. He's really a genius, and he's prepared these horses. But I keep moving up levels. I'll acquire another horse and move up to another, so that the horses I'm riding are almost open horses, which means that this isn't the, you know, nice and easy and slide to a stop. This is going all out. We call it 9-0 because they mark each maneuver a sliding stop. What do you score, plus or minus? And you want to plus each maneuver and get a high score. And I'm trying to plus each maneuver, which requires moving at speed as against taking it easy and methodically.
Well, I mean, one of the things, too, that I found so interesting about your book is, as much as you love to ride, and you're really good at it, you also make it clear that just being with the horses, and you have one scene where you talk about just hugging one of your horses is a spiritual experience, and that you've felt the soul of the horse entering yours and your soul entering the horse's soul.
You know,
so it's more than physical. It's
that grows
mental,
on
it's
you.
Spiritual.
Exactly. And that grows on you as you associate with horses. And my horse book, Spirit of the Horse, I spent a good length of time with you on that very subject and learned a great deal. I've become a better rider each year. I'm better now this year than I was last year, and last year I was better than the year before. I have progressed each year when I'm supposed to be failing in strength and eyesight and balance and all that kind of thing. I met a trainer who had lost his balance, and he was much younger than I, and he couldn't train anymore. He'd lost his balance. I didn't know what that meant. I've still got my balance. I've still got the strength in my legs. I'm still sliding to a stop, 30, 40 feet a stop. But what I have learned in a progressive way is that riding is also a spiritual experience. And from people like you, and from myself too, as I learn more about animals and the connection between all of life, the trees have DNA that is not dissimilar to human beings. We're all one organism, life, and some of life is at a what we might say, although I don't quite know what I mean by it, at a higher level. Perhaps that's more self-awareness, more awareness. But a horse is really up there in that arena of awareness. Being a herd, and I'm now talking to the choir, who actually the choir who taught me. I'm flinging your words back at you, Linda. The horse, being a herd animal, having to live in the now, because it doesn't matter whether the lion or the tiger try to get me yesterday or will try to get me tomorrow. I'm worried about today and right now. And is there something going to get me in the bushes? And I've got to be in the now, in the immediate. I haven't got time to think about anything but my awareness of the present. What a lesson that is for human beings. And it's a lesson I've taken to heart. And based on that communication, one can relate with a horse in the now. And so, yes, the spirit of the horse has entered me, and I have entered the horse, and I have been there where this unity, this Zen experience, riding on the ground, standing by, every which way, I felt the spirit of the horse.
I was so struck in really looking at your life with horses and how it coincides also with your professional life, because, you know, you have an energy and a talent and opportunities that are so invigorating that it just managing your own talent and your own opportunities could be like riding a wild black stallion. And I wondered if you learned anything from working with these very powerful horses over the years that helped you manage your own talent and your own career.
Linda, riding at the above the level of just staying on, riding a horse is a, try to choose the right words, an exercise, a procedure that works on many levels. First of all, you're in total communication with another being so that you can feel the horse's responses, and in those responses, the horse is talking to you, so that you're creating a dialogue with your body, your hands, your legs, and your voice with the horse. In addition to that dialogue, because you're in communication, you're saying to the horse, I'm here with you, not against you. I don't want to hurt you. You feel the bit that I have in my hands. Feel it. Just let me touch you with the bit gently, 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 and see, here I am. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to lower your jaw and collect me. Let me take you. Let me collect you just right there. That's where I want to have you, right there. Doesn't that feel good? Now press up into it. Look the way I can push you into that bit without hurting you. You see, I won't hurt you, and what we can do together, that's the dialogue you're having with the horse.
And so when you translate this to your own life, to your own craft and art,
then you say to with the words that you've learned that somebody else has written, you don't have to go out there. You can let it just happen. You can have a dialogue with your inner self as the character. It gets a little mystical here. It's hard to put into words. But not only have I improved as a communicator with a horse, but I've become a better actor as a result of it. And I don't quite know why. Maybe it's the confidence. Maybe it's the spirit. Maybe it's the ability to take the words that I have learned and work with them. That's just easy without using a bit too much, and I get with my voice and my diaphragm and my brain, I'm doing the same thing as an actor as I am with a horse, just using different communications. I'm not quite sure what it is. I know it's linked. I know that what I've learned as a horseman, I'm using as an actor.
It's been really interesting to me how much riding has accompanied really important parts of your career. So, you know, you way back in 1966 to 1969 when Star Trek was airing, you also had in 1968 a series about Alexander the Great, where you played Alexander the Great, who is known as one of the greatest riders, and you had to learn bareback riding back then.
That's right.
So while you're flying through space,
I had to learn
also learning an ancient art form.
I learned from I was being taught by one of the great horse trainers in movies, and I spent 6 months on a spirited saddlebred, actually, and I didn't know at that time what saddlebreds were particularly, riding bareback to play Alexander the Great. And I then did more than one scene in which I had to gallop hard with a sword in my hand and the reins in my left hand, pretending to be slashing and parrying in battle. And I was doing it all up bareback. And I had to learn to do that. That really started me off with riding as an art form.
And I thought it was interesting to look at some of the behind-the-scenes things that go on when people use horses in Hollywood for various types of things, particularly the use of horse lookalikes. I never knew that that was pretty standard.
By lookalikes, you mean what?
By often you would have two horses who looked almost exactly alike,
yes,
but one would be really patient and the other would be really feisty. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. I have a wonderful story about that. I was doing a film in Spain in which I played two half-Indian, half-white brothers, twin brothers. One was good and one was bad. And and their horses were different. One was a chestnut and the other was a bay, I think. In any case, I had to have two horses for each character because the horse you want galloping across the plains with a tail flowing and mane flowing and that spirited canter is not the kind of horse you want standing in front of a large group of people with cameras and whirring and people yelling and clapboards clapping. You need a horse that's totally docile. But they have to look alike, because if you're in close-up, the horse that you rode in on, the horse you rode in on, got to look like the horse you're sitting on. That's what we had to do in Spain. But gradually, over the weeks that I was riding the spirited horse, the spirited horse became much more calm as a result of my riding him, his getting used to me. I worked him. I, as little as I knew, I gentled him more to the bit. I collected him and made him stand and had fun working training on him. Meanwhile, the docile horse was beginning to anticipate that when the clapboard went, he had to run off or do something five times. So by the third time, he was anticipating doing it, and gradually he became more and more nervous. So we had El Tranquilo, the tranquil one, and El Nervioso, the nervous one. Halfway through the movie, we had to switch horses, and the guy, the horse that was El Nervioso became El Tranquilo and vice versa.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
Yeah. Well, I know that that in your book at times you also show some of the cruelties that were used in training in the past.
Oh, yeah. It's things have changed now. In the past, they when Ben-Hur was done, and I'm trying to think of the name of the trainer, who was the guy who trained me, a famous name, it just has escaped me at the moment. They killed horses. Horses died, broken legs, falling, and they didn't care. Or they may cared, but it was getting the movie done. The people who were not horsemen didn't care. All they wanted to do was get the movie done. The horsemen had to abide by that, I'm sure. But gradually it changed, and with the legalities changing, horses then, instead of tripping them with a wire, had to learn to fall. They had to be trained to fall to the ground with a flying W, which when they dug the ground up and fell into the soft ground, it was a good trick and didn't hurt them. I learned to do it myself, actually. So it's not something you'd want to do often, but trained people, the stuntmen, were able to either fall off the horse and into the softened ground or make the horse fall by using twisting their head, which was the cue to fall to the ground. So as of late, no animals are hurt in American productions, dogs, horses, cats. Everybody's very much protected.
That's great. That's great to see. You know, there is a kind of interesting sort of duality in working with horses where, you know, you can really gain their trust. But a lot of times horses are pushed too hard or used as tools. And nowhere do you see this more profoundly than in the drug running business. I live here near the Mexican border in southern Arizona, and I've had a couple of horses that were previously drug running horses, and they are very nervous around humans. I've heard some horrific stories about how they, quote-unquote, train these horses to be drug-running horses. But the interesting thing is that in your book, you talk about an instance where basically that has now backfired on the
yes.
drug-runners and the coyotes who run people across.
Exactly.
Because now the horses are getting back at them in an interesting way. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, my wife, Elizabeth, and I were shooting a film. I was shooting a film in Arizona, I guess, and we were close to the border, and for our edification, a couple of border guys said, "Would you like to come out at night with us?" And so we did, and we went right to the border, and then they put us on horses with night glasses, and the horses had been commandeered from the drug guys running drugs across the border from Mexico into L.A. They were part of the drug runners' equipment, and the border guards had confiscated the horses. And the horses had been mistreated enough; they were fearful of those people, so that the border people used the horses as tracking devices. When their ears went up and their scent went up, they knew that there was a party of people coming across the border. And so these horses that we were on, in the middle of the night, no moon or anything like that, as soon as the horses alerted the border guards, the border guards on foot, without night glasses, started running with the horses, and we're on top of the horses, towards what the horses had scented and heard. And we rounded up a group of people. They rounded up a group of people to which we were a party of. And then, bizarrely, one of the young men that had come across the border looked up at me, and I had these science fiction glasses on with a long snout, and they glowed green. And he looked up at me and he said, "Captain Kirk?" And it surely softened the moment for everybody. Everybody laughed at that point.
Yeah, that would be very bizarre to be moving across the border and then look up and see Captain Kirk standing there over you. It almost make it
with
worse
this weird
than hot,
device
wouldn't it?
On his forehead covering his eyes.
Well, I know that Elizabeth is a phenomenal horsewoman, and that's how you all met.
Yep.
And also started the All Glory Project, which
that's
is
correct.
Another charity that you are overseeing.
Well, not me. The All Glory Project is Elizabeth. It's a charity she has been working on. It's aimed at helping veterans with hippo therapy. My charity is called the Hollywood Charity Horse Show. We, too, help veterans with hippotherapy, but we're mostly aimed at kids in need. And as we both know, hippotherapy, therapeutic riding, is phenomenal in its ability to help people in emotional and social and physical distress. And that goes for veterans as well as people not in the military.
And actually, one of the things that I've specialized in and have been writing about for years is also what horses have to teach humans who are basically able-bodied and are ready to not just survive in life, but really learn how to thrive so that, you know, and you're a great example of that. You know, you weren't somebody who came to horses because of a disability or an emotional challenge. You came to horses through delight and also as an art form, and that this has really helped you to thrive in life at a whole other level.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Probably one could say that I have, I'm a great result of horse therapy. Therapeutic in a totality, not that I was, well, I might have been emotionally stunted, who knows, but as a result of my riding continuously, I'm a better person for it, and I have seen physical and emotional results that come from hippotherapy. So the Hollywood Charity Horse Show is on June 3rd. We're pretty much sold out now, but there is a silent auction, horseshow.org, that if you're interested, if your listeners are interested in contributing to this charity, Hollywood Charity Horse Show, bidding on some of those items at Hollywood at horseshow.org, there are some great items. Every penny goes to help kids and veterans, and I urge you to take a look.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Pleasure is mine, Linda. Once again, I look forward to talking to you every time. You yourself have these wonderful books out that I have read, and I urge your audience to read them as well.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Take care, my dear.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.